الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز، وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. لرزري سيد دروش شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders and dear brothers, in our last Jumu'ah discourse together, we spoke about the aspect of being kind towards our parents. In keeping with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه أو يمد له في عمره فليصل رحمه وليبر والديه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, and he said to us, if you wish to enjoy expansion in your sustenance and your rizq, and if you want to enjoy a long lifespan, or in another explanation, Allah should allow you to enjoy a good legacy after you have passed on, then you should do two things. Number one, be kind to your parents. And number two, you should maintain family ties. So I thought it appropriate for us to complete the discussion under this hadith and discuss the aspect of maintaining family ties. Every human being, irrespective of color, culture, creed, or background, wants to be successful. Every person wants to be successful and they aspire towards success. But what is the definition of success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very emphatically in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ. That person who is kept away and distanced away from the fire of Jahannam and he secures entry into paradise, then surely this is the person who is successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the definition for success, and together with that, via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us of the recipe towards attaining this form of success. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala an, he shares an incident, and he says that a person came before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, أخبرني بعمل يباعدني عن النار ويدخلني الجنة. Ya Rasulullah, inform me of such an action that I can perform that will distance me from the fire of Jahannam and it will give me a ticket to Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this person, تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. Worship Allah and Allah alone. Don't ascribe any partners with Allah. وتقيم الصلاة. Establish salah in your life. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ, and discharge your zakah. So he mentioned to him all those aspects which we are aware of, and as we know, as the pillars upon which the superstructure of Islam rests upon, these are necessary for you to do. These are the fundamentals. And then, what is most important and amazing about this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this person, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمِ. So you know the five pillars as the fundamentals. Remember one more important aspect in your life that you should do if you want to secure Jannah. Maintain and uphold family ties. So our ulama tell us, maintaining family ties and keeping a relationship with those who are regarded as your relatives is not something which is discretionary. It's a necessary aspect of a person's life and deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهِ. That person who believes in his heart that there is only one Allah, one deity that I worship. And he believes firmly in his heart that there is a last day, the day of judgment. I will stand before Allah and answer for my deeds. If he has this firm belief in his heart, then the natural reaction of this belief is that he should be maintaining family ties. So it's a very, very important aspect of our deen, not to be treated lightly. And we find this in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. When he received his first revelation, when he met with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam in the cave of Hira, we understand what happened. He came rushing to his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha because he was shocked. He did not know what to make of the situation. He was full of fear, full of anxiety. But look at what Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, now when we have first responders, when a person goes through some trauma, you cover the person. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha covers the husband to give him solace and comfort. And then she says to him something amazing. We discussed a few benefits of being kind to our parents, maintaining family ties. We said barakah in your rizq, a long lifespan, a good legacy after you leave this world. One more we can add, Allah will never ever abandon you. Allah will never let you taste humiliation. So look at what she says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to comfort her husband. She says, kalla, wallahi, la yukhzika Allahu abada. She said, never. I swear by Allah, Allah will never abandon you. Allah will never leave you alone. Allah will never let you taste humiliation. Why? إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. You are a person who holds firm onto maintaining family ties. How can Allah abandon you? So brothers, our deen is very, very simple. Not complicated, not sophisticated. The issue is those things which we are supposed to be tending to, our fundamentals in our deen, we are not adhering to them. We are neglecting them. And that is what is causing us to experience strife, individual strife, nay, collective strife. So if we want to be good Muslims, we have to maintain family ties. If we want Jannah, we have to maintain family ties. If we want barakah in our life, we have to maintain family ties. If we want a long lifespan, we have to maintain family ties. If we want Allah to be with us, in all our moments of joy and difficulty, prosperity and adversity, we have to maintain family ties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even prior to the advent of Nubuwwah, he had this worry and concern and stress about his family members. Anyone experiencing difficulty, he was a first responder. He was a first responder. Not that, no, let somebody else come and help, or no, this person will be there for him. No, when he saw a person in difficulty, especially in his family, he was the one who responded first. Whoever it was, prior to Nubuwwah, when Quraysh were experiencing a severe, severe drought, no food whatsoever. Historians say they were actually licking the bones of animals to acquire some form of nourishment. At this difficult time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to his uncle Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, oh my uncle, Abu Talib has a lot of dependence under him. He's taking care of many people. Let's go and lighten his load in this period of difficulty. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu accedes to this request and they both go to Abu Talib. They say to Abu Talib, look, you got so many children. Let us help you. Let us lighten your load. So Abu Talib accepts this proposal. And he says to them, okay, I'll keep the eldest son Aqil. You take Jafar and Ali respectively. Take the two of them. I will keep the eldest Aqil. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not an elder in the family, not his uncle, his cousin. His cousin, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, under his care. And Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu took Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu under his care. Hatta staghnaya, until such a time came when they became independent and they could stand on their two feet. Historians say, until Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrated to Habasha in Abyssinia, the first migration, he He was under the care and a dependent of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was the worry and the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his family members in need. What is the reality of maintaining family ties? What does it mean to maintain family ties with those who are considered our relatives by blood? Our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, aunts, paternal, maternal, our grandparents, our parents, our children. What does it mean to have a relationship with them, maintain family ties with them? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِرِ. A person who is a true maintainer of family ties is not that person who reciprocates an act of kindness. So what happens is your uncle sends you cherries and watermelon. You send your uncle mangoes and some other fruit. Yes, you are maintaining family ties. You are exchanging gifts. It's an act of kindness. The mahabba will increase. The love will be stronger. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that there is a reality, a true reality of maintaining family ties, an actual maintaining family ties. What is it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, it's not reciprocating an act of kindness done by your relative for you. وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا انْقَطَعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَحَ. A true maintainer of family ties is what? When your uncle is looking after your brother, when your uncle gives your sister things, and when your uncle gives your brother things and he leaves you out, yet you greet your uncle, you are kind to him, you are polite to him, you hug him, you share in his pain and you share in his joy. That is a true maintainer of family ties. That is the reality of maintaining family ties. Ironically, today, the greatest amounts of disputes and fights and arguments are when we are supposed to be sharing moments of pain together. That is when all hell breaks loose. When we are supposed to be sharing moments of joy together, a nikah in the family, a walima in the family, we are supposed to be happy with one another. You can see at the function, two brothers will avoid one another. They won't speak to one another. One will serve in one corner of the hall, the other brother will serve in one corner of the hall. No smiles. Why? Because the night before, there was an argument, they had something to say to each other, the wives got involved, the wives said something over petty things, petty issues. And the whole moment becomes spoiled. And you can feel the tension. You can feel the tension at the function. So it's ironical, when we are supposed to be together, that is when we are broken apart and we are disunited. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, a true maintainer of family ties is that person who looks after his relative. He is concerned about his relative even when his relative does not worry about him or her. A person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what to do. Innali qaraba, I have relatives. Asiluhum wa yaqta'uni. Every time I'm nice to them, I'm kind to them, I send them lychees, I give them watermelon, I give them mangoes, I do this for them, I do that for them. I'm nice to their children, I buy them gifts, but they act as if I don't exist. They don't give my children a second look. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahabi is complaining, Ya Rasulullah, I join family ties with this relative of mine, but he continuously breaks family ties with me. Uhsinu ilayhim, I'm kind to him. Wa yusi'una ilayya, he's condescending to me, he's bad to me, he's evil to me. How do I treat him? Ahlumu anhum. وَيَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ, I'm tolerant to all that he does to me. وَيَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ, they act as if I don't exist. They give me a cold shoulder. What should I do, Ya Rasulullah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, لَإِن كُنْتَ كَمَا تَقُولُ, if it is as you say it is, then فَكَأَنَّمَا تُسِفُهُمُ الْمَلَّ. It's as though you are continuously and repeatedly taking hot ash under a pot that is burning and you are putting it into their mouth. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling this person, continue doing what you are doing. Kill that person with kindness, in other words. Because every time they are evil to you, they say something about you behind your back, they are condescending towards you, they are expecting a certain type of reaction from you. And when they don't see that, they feel bitter and guilty and disgusted inside. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you are putting hot ash in their mouth. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ مَا دُمْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And remember, as long as you are killing this person with kindness, then remember, you will always have a helper from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long as you are doing what you are doing. You will always have the help of Allah. Don't worry about the consequences of what they are saying, what they are doing. You reciprocate with kindness and good words. Allah will always be with you. So that is the reality of maintaining family ties. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stress the aspect of family ties so much in the Quran? Repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. Speaking about a certain group who continuously cut that which Allah has commanded to be joined. Allah has selected for us certain people to be part of our life. We don't have a say in that matter. Allah has selected your brother to be your brother. Allah has selected your sister to be your sister. Even though you might tell yourself, how are we related to one another? We are nothing alike. We are nothing alike. How am I related to this person? How is my uncle who does what he does, says what he says, be my uncle? But Allah, out of His infinite mercy, predetermined that that person is going to be your uncle. We chose our business partners. We chose our employers, our employees. We choose our friends. So much so, we can even select our spouse. And if we want to walk away from them, Sharia has given us a way to walk away in an amicable way. I do not wish to be insensitive because today a nikah is taking place. But even in nikah, if you want to walk away, Sharia has given you talaq. But you can't walk away from your uncle. You can't walk away from your brother. You can't walk away from your sister. These are people whom Allah has selected to be a part and parcel of your life. Who selected the father of Ibrahim to be the father of Ibrahim? Even though his own father wanted to throw him in the fire. Who selected the son of Nuh to be the son of Nuh? Who harmed him, went against his instruction, did not accept the invitation for years and years and centuries and centuries? Who selected the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam to be his children? The same children who says, إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. You are delusional, you are misguided. Not to their father, to their father, any Nabi. Who selected this group of youngsters to be the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam? Who wanted to harm him, who were jealous of him, who wanted to murder him, get rid of him? It was Allah who selected them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly enumerates the Quran that, hold on, think about it. You might think that your situation in your family is worse, but think about the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Allah repeatedly tells us in the Quran that they were the most beloved to Allah, yet Allah tested them the most. And one of the groups or one of the manners in which Allah tested them the most is what? Through their own family. Their own family were harming them. Yet Allah still says, join family ties. Who selected Abu Lahab to be the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who selected Abu Jahl to be related to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If they were tested in that manner, where they were actually tortured, a father is taking his son and throwing him into the fire, then can't we resolve our issues? Can't we resolve our petty issues? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stressing this point repeatedly in the Quran. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a definition of a people who cut that which Allah has commanded to be joined. Allah has commanded you to join with your brother, your sister, your uncle. Allah then says, if you cut, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. They will have the curses of Allah. وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. They will have an evil outcome in the hereafter. In the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the first few pages of the Holy Quran, Allah touches this topic. Allah says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah does not misguide except a fasiq. A fasiq is that person whose corruption is visible outside and is corrupt on the inside as well. Two words, fasiq with a qaf, dal. When an apple is fasid with a dal, the corruption is only on the inside. You will know it's corrupt and spoiled when you take a bite and you see the worms or you see the color change. But a fasiq with a qaf is that apple which is rotten. You can see the rottenness and the spoiltness on the outside. So Allah says, Allah does not misguide except the fasiq. And then Allah gives us the groups of people who are regarded as fasiqs. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ. They break their covenant that they made with Allah. And then Allah says, وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ. They cut that which Allah has commanded to be joined. If you cut yourself from your uncle, if you cut yourself from your father because you believe he's frustrating, he's upset with you. The other day I met a youngster and he was speaking. And I asked him, like, you know, why are you so distant from your father? He says, I just feel like I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to spend time. For 2 years, 3 years, doesn't eat with them, doesn't go out with them, doesn't have a conversation with them. In fact, even a hug is so difficult for him. Because he just feels, I just feel like I don't want to be by my father. I don't want to be in his company. I don't want to be around him. So Allah says, a fasiq, they cut that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined. And today we see it in our society. When you have a father and mother, husband and wife, rather, and they are not together. For whatever reason, they are now separated. They have kids in the family. So when the kids are by their father, this side of the family will inject poison in the child's mind with regard to this side of the family. When the child goes to this side of the family, these masoom, innocent children are being poisoned with regard to this side of the family. Doesn't that fall under the definition of they cut that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding to be joined? Yes, the husband and wife, they don't have a relationship anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a way out. They might dislike each other, but who are we to poison the minds of their children? Allah has connected that child to that father. That is the father that Allah chose for this child. That is the mother that Allah chose for that particular child. We have no right to make them hate their parents. We are cutting that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined. Sometimes you find a couple are together. Right? We have a couple. And they have children. And for whatever reason, the husband doesn't like that side of the family. The wife doesn't like that side of the family. And there's a continuous competition. My kids like my side of the family more. Who are we to train our children to hate that side of the family? That is their grandfather. That is their grandmother. That is their uncle. They are joined to them. Allah joined them via blood. We are cutting them off from their children by manipulating them, by making them feel guilty. And at the end of the day, we tell our spouse, I won. Because when it's Eid, when it's this function, that function, my kids want to be with my family. They don't want to be with yours. At what cost? Allah says, وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You are causing corruption on earth. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah says, those are losers. You might feel like you won. And you have the upper hand. And you have earned some brownie points. But Allah is saying you are an actual loser. You haven't won anything. You are a loser. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stressed this point over and over and over again in the Quran. Don't cut that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has advised us, don't cut that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined. Yes, respected elders and dear friends, sometimes you'll find an extreme situation. We are not discussing that. An extreme situation where you have to keep that distance from that particular relative because they are harmful to your iman, they are harmful to your health, they are harmful to your children, to the safety and the security of your children. In that case, I would advise you to seek counsel from a counselor, to seek counsel from an expert scholar. And I would also advise you that our ulama say, you can keep a safe distance, but don't cut yourself from permanently from that person. Don't cut yourself off. Lest we become part and parcel of the definition that Allah says, Allah does not misguide except the fasiq. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a tawfiq of making amal. Remember, I want to reiterate the solutions that we mentioned in our previous Jumu'ah. Have lower your expectations with regard to human beings, with regard to people. Have your expectations in Allah. Do for the sake of Allah. Number two, have a forgiving attitude. Forgive. Because one day you'll want Allah to forgive you. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was slandered, one of the people who unintentionally spread the rumor as well was Mislah bin Uthatha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi and a close relative of Abu Bakr. What did he do? He spread the rumor that his daughter was part and parcel of infidelity. He spread the rumor. He got so upset with Mislah. He took a vow. He was looking after Mislah. Every month he would give him a stipend. And after he heard what Mislah did, he said, from now on, I'm not going to give you anything. So Allah brought down an ayah in the Quran. Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The people of virtue amongst you, position amongst you, should never ever take a qasam and a vow that they will never look after their family members and their relatives. Rather, Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Pardon and forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love that one day you'll stand before Allah and Allah wants to forgive you? You are going to cry for the forgiveness of Allah. Why are you not prepared to forgive that family member? Imagine, this is a person who spread the rumor about infidelity, about his own daughter. Yet Allah is saying, forgive him, pardon him. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. Respected elders and dear friends, it should never be that when we pass away, our brother, our sister cannot attend the janazah, cannot come to the funeral home. All these grudges that we have, these fights that we have, these arguments that we have, these cold wars that we have because of something that was said on WhatsApp. Now we assume things about people. Eventually when you meet the person, you clarify the issue, you realize how silly you were. Because there was no issue and you made an issue because you read something or you misinterpreted something on WhatsApp, on a family group. Remember, all these baggages are going to weigh very heavy on the day of Qiyamah. Very, very heavy on the pul sirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are on the pul sirat and you want to cross the sirat, beneath it is Jahannam. Beneath it is Jahannam. On either side of the sirat are two hooks or two cranes. One crane is amana, trustworthiness. When you are entrusted with something, the second crane on either side of the bridge, on the other side of the bridge is family ties. If you fell short with regard to these two aspects, they will continuously claw at you while you are attempting to cross the sirat. Rasulullah said, some people will cross like lightning, some people like the wind, some people like galloping horses, some people will crawl, some people will be attacked by these cranes, by these hooks of family ties and amana. They'll claw at you. Some will fall down. Rasulullah says, فَمَخْدُوشٌ نَاجٍ. Some will be scraped. They will fall down. Allah will pick them up, put them on the sirat again, then they'll move again. Some will be hit by the crane. They'll fall into the fire and they'll remain there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرَّحِمُ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِالْعَرْشِ. Family ties has been given a physical shape that is attached to the arsh of Allah. It's given a physical shape. And he continuously makes an announcement. Man wasalani wasalahu Allah. That person who joins with me, Allah will join with that person. So do it for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason. Waman qata'ani qata'ahu Allah. That person who continuously cuts me off, Allah will cut that person off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be united in our families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make a concerted effort to be kind and tolerant and forgiving towards our family members. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free our hearts from any grudges, any hatred, any malice, any jealousy with regard to our family members. This is a very, very significant issue, an important issue that heavily, heavily affects our akhirah. It heavily affects our akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, nikah will be taking place. We request the nikah parties to kindly come forward, inshallah.